You're listening to the SciFidelity Podcast, Episode 80, Star Trek Into Continuity. Warning, Starfleet General Order Number 1 states that the prime directive of this podcast is to talk about some dirty, dirty stuff, including how rigid and flexible the captain's log is.
I have the foggiest.
I thought we were going
to shoot shit. Yeah.
Well, because Brian and I had this nice little discussion about Star Trek, and remember we were going to do that episode about how Deep Space Nine was a Star Trek? Was that you, or was that?
Oh
him
yeah,
that
yeah.
That?
No, well, I remember that. I've been still waiting to hear how Deep Space Nine is not Star Trek. Also,
okay.
Voyager is not as shitty as I remember.
Haha! I feel vindicated. So
I'm
good.
Only two seasons in. They still got five seasons to totally fun. 7 and 9 hasn't even showed up yet.
Yes. Yes,
but
well, to be honest, I actually thought the show just very incrementally got better over the course of its run. So if you've already decided it's not as shit as you remember, you're probably not going to be wildly disappointed in the future. But
so what do you credit that with? Just more familiarity with the characters and more direction or bigger budget or what?
Oh, why it got slightly better?
Yeah.
I think they were trying. Some people, there was some general effort that they wanted to improve it.
Hold up, before we go any further, fuck it, we're doing a Star Trek episode. Welcome to the SciFidelity Podcast. Oh, sorry.
I'm Steve.
This is Michael.
This is Brian.
This is Patrick.
Now, you were saying.
I like fucking him up like that. He's like, but, what? Is it my turn to say it? I don't know.
Oh, by the way, we also have fuckers in the room listening to us.
You mean a live studio audience? Yeah.
Make
studio
noise, audience. Fuckers.
The number of people who are going to listen to this podcast has been quadrupled.
Only one of the fuckers actually knows what to do.
Actually, the number
when told to make noise.
We're going to listen to this podcast.
It's not a complicated instruction.
Because everybody
what was
busy
touching himself and got surprised.
I'm not going to let them talk. The number of people who would listen to this podcast are now in the room.
Well, no, but they're listening to it.
I don't think that counts.
No,
yeah, it does.
No,
that doesn't
not.
Give
no, no, no.
Not.
Even if we had to pay them to come in here, it still counts as audience.
I don't say that. Nobody's getting paid, all right? No. There's no money. Yeah.
There's no goddamn money.
Here's the thing. I
oh,
keep my
and now
eyes
they're
down.
Putting their shoes on. Hey, guys, come back. Come back.
No, I got to keep my eyes. They're not listening.
I'm trying
I keep my eyes down because I don't want to see them blowing each other in the background. See? He's like, yeah, I can do that. Woo! So, whatever.
Guys, that's, how you
that's what you can expect if you're a live studio audience member at SciFidelity Podcast. You come in. We'll,
you get blown?
We'll make a bunch of dirty jokes at your expense.
I thought you said you were going to get blown because that was the thing. I'll just listen. That's cool. I can sit in the chair. I didn't know that was an option.
Who am I getting blown by? Because if it's one of you,
whatever.
I'll pass.
Whatever. I'll just start drinking before I get here.
No. You've got enough
he's not talking about alcohol. He's talking about pain thinner.
Look. Yeah, look. Like Bill Burr said on the episode of Chappelle's Show, a mouse mouth.
Yeah, I don't have philosophy.
I really don't either.
By the way, I think they should stop doing that because I hear that's how you get MERS.
Okay, so Star Trek.
I want to know what a MER is, but...
It's a disease. This is my fault.
You know...
Stop hitting the table.
Why don't you know these things?
I've never had MERS before.
Read a newspaper.
I know you haven't had it
because
you're still fucking here.
Does anyone read a newspaper anymore?
Okay, actually, no.
Read the internet.
Where on the internet?
Yeah, I do read on the internet.
Lemonparty.org.
Yeah. You know that has to go to the visual reference now, right?
Oh, Jesus.
No, it doesn't.
Yes.
Fortunately, I'm not responsible for the visual reference.
See, Brian's writing it down. Look, see what you did? This is what you brought, sir. This is what you brought.
Well,
your name is now attached to a link that goes to lemonparty.org.
So you remember at the very start of this program when we said this is for mature audiences. Yeah, we weren't fucking kidding.
I just want to say something straight up. I don't want to have to pay royalties to lemonparty.com, so we should stop.
It's a
that's
org.
Why it's not a word.
It's a word.
So you guys have been to the site.
I haven't. I know what a lemon party is. I don't need
but
to go
you know
there.
But you know whether it's an org or a comm. So.
I don't
this
have
motherfucker has a membership to lemon party.
Yeah, okay. I know he's trying to point at me for that. Yeah. Some bullshit.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Well, how did you find out what the prefix
hey,
is?
Hey, I was pointing at Steve giving him an out. He's the one that said that I was pointing at him.
It's one of those things, Brian. You know, I happen to know what a blue waffle is.
Okay, oh. I don't know what that is.
But you know whether it's a comm or an org or a gov or whatever.
It's a thing. It's a thing. You know?
It's a sweet, sexy old thing.
What are we talking about, Star Trek?
No, obviously. Star Trek links to lemon parties. That's
Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
we need to get out of this hole.
That's
Brian.
Scotty, beat me up.
They set that up with Patrick Stewart, Jean-Luc Picard, Captain, old Captain, lemon party Captain.
Shut up, Wesley.
Okay, Voyager, not as shitty as you
Voyager,
thought.
Voyager, not shitty.
Well, that's good because you know. They had that fucking animal friend episode in like the first half of season one.
Oh, actually
you know.
I watched three episodes recently and I did watch one which was shit and I remember it being shit. The one where they hit warp 10.
Oh, yeah.
Oh god, no,
that episode is fucking
cool. Oh, no, that's generally regarded as one of the worst even by people who love Voyager.
That episode was awful.
Oh god.
I was like, "Oh shit, that episode."
The transwarp frogs in space episode. Yes.
But then the episode right after that was the Tuvok mind meld with a psychopath, which you knew. I remember that episode. That episode was fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Why did I know that you would love that episode?
That episode is amazing.
Yeah.
When Tuvok goes all batshit Hannibal Lecter crazy. Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of awesome.
Yeah. How would I know that would be the thing?
I'm trying to remember if I've actually seen that one. I think I might have missed it.
You should check it out,
Brian. I saw that one.
Yeah,
there's
three or four Voyager episodes I never did see. I never saw the Chakotay boxes with an alien one.
Oh, my God. Is that real?
That's real. There's also the one where Seven fights the Rock, but that one I did
see. Okay, that one I've seen.
Yeah, but I think there's apparently
it's
one.
Shit like that makes me
Wait. So you didn't smell what the Rock was cooking?
Tuvok was cooking.
You know, let me tell you what that episode was about.
Actually, Tuvok got his ass beat. That's why Seven had to go and fucking beat up the Rock. He's like, you know, I'm Borg, right? I'm fucking indestructible and shit. I got Borged up titties and I'm in heels and
Borged
you know,
up titties.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you sure writing a rap song? I got Borged up titties.
You can get those at Walmart now.
They sell nanoprobes at Walmart.
Mammoprobes.
Mammoprobes. That's the title.
You know what? I'm not going to say that because I'm your friend. Anyway, Voyager.
Mammoprobes.
By the way, you know what that episode 2, 7, and 9 Fights the Rock was about, right? Hey, we also show wrestling on UPN.
Yeah. So, and yeah. Also, The Rock is popular. We want this show to be popular.
Because wrestling and sci-fi go together so well.
Apparently
just
so.
Five. Yeah.
No, just ask fucking sci-fi before Continuum.
Sci-fi and wrestling have a long history together. Yeah. A long, contentious history.
But anyway, okay, so we're talking about Star Trek because this is something that we've been wanting to discuss for a really long time, right? Which was why Deep Space Nine is not Star Trek.
Brian.
Yes. This is my personal opinion. I love Deep Space Nine. It's actually my second favorite of the Star Trek franchise.
A franchise you don't associate it with.
So,
that's a good point.
Carry on.
So, obviously, he thinks it's shit.
It's part of that universe, for sure. I'm not saying it's out of continuity or something like that.
Right.
It's clearly part of the universe. It's just like... But in the same way that I would not say that Torchwood is Doctor Who.
I think he's lawyering. He's cementing this the fuck up.
He's framing. He's framing now.
Framing, yeah. In the same way that I would say,
I'm
not say that.
I'm not saying you're ugly. What I meant to say was.
Put this bag on your head.
Has a unique feature to it that I think is hideous.
Yeah, no. I would say, I think it's. it's very easy to look at, in my mind, it's very easy to look at Deep Space Nine and say that's not actually a Star Trek show. It just takes place in the same universe and continuity.
It sounds to me that so, your definition of Star Trek is way too rigid.
Well, so, well let him make his case.
I mean, what it basically boils down to is that...
Black Captain, right? It was Black Captain? Racist ass.
Racist motherfucker.
Yeah, that was it. Now you got me. Yeah,
I knew it.
No.
The only black people should have pointy ears and shit on their eyes. That's bullshit. Gene Roddenberry didn't believe.
Foreheads of ridges. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's simply the fact that it's...
Go on.
Michael needs to regain his composure.
Oh, is that what he calls that?
Well played, sir.
So, no, it's simply the fact that it's about the title promises implicitly a trek through the stars, and DS9 is about building a community in a certain space and with a certain reoccurring collection of characters. So we're not actually trekking anywhere.
Got a point.
That's it.
Okay, I will say this. That is completely not where I thought you were going with that.
Why? Because lucid than you expected.
That is actually what I thought his answer would be, which I think is horseshit. But I'll get into that.
I mean, whereas Voyager, I actually, as much as I dislike that turd, to admit that it is Star Trek. It's just not very good Star Trek. And Enterprise, again, is Star Trek. We're actually going somewhere every week. We go someplace new. So DS9, they did a little trekking here and there, but honestly, it's just, if you can call DS9 Star Trek, you might as well call Babylon 5 Star Trek. So, Steve's giving me the eyes.
So do you have a retort,
yes,
Patrick?
I actually no, because I had prepared for something completely different.
Uh-huh.
And what had this I had prepared for, you know, the show is a lot darker and there's a lot more moral ambiguity and, you know, all that stuff. They didn't go anywhere. I mean, they have runabouts. They don't go anywhere in like a big ship, but they go in little ships. Yeah,
come on, that's
not all that. Not all that.
You know that's
often.
Not what he's kidding.
The last
no,
two,
I know,
we
saying.
Didn't make one trip through the wormhole in the last two seasons of the show. Their big travel gimmick was the wormhole, and they didn't use it to travel anywhere in the last.
You
two
know there
seasons.
Was a. You know there was an army that know. Was coming.
I know.
That.
I know. It was that a different was, kind of show. It was telling a different
right,
kind of story.
Okay. All right. No. All right. You know
so,
what?
All right. I want to say that I fall pretty much. I can see where you're coming from. Yeah. I haven't given it that much thought, obviously, but I'm okay with you having this opinion now.
Yeah.
Now that it's been explained.
Yeah. Well,
I'm okay with you thinking for yourself. Okay,
well, I understand where you're coming from now, and that's a long way.
Yeah. I kind of noticed other people pick up on it. I've talked to lots of people throughout the 90s who kept referring to Next Generation as Star Trek and Deep Space Nine as Deep Space Nine, to the point where one time they asked me what did I think of Star Trek last
by their name.
No. One of them was just Star Trek. One was Deep Space. To the point where there were a few times where I actually was asked somebody, did you see Star Trek last night? And I said, oh, yeah, I loved what the Dominion did or whatever. No, not Deep Space Nine. Did you see Star Trek? These people weren't even thinking about it that hard. It was just unconscious on their level.
So you're ready to call bullshit on this?
Yes.
I am ready to call bullshit on this.
Deploy the bullshit. Shields up.
So basically, they create a universe that has the Federation in it, but it doesn't count unless every episode is they're going someplace new. You know they have space stations, so they just can't ever have a show that's set on the space station.
No, I'm not saying they can't do that. I'm just saying it's not actually
You're just
Star
saying
Trek.
It doesn't count at that point.
I'm saying it's part of continuity. So it's also my second favorite series in the franchise.
That's like saying, this isn't gay because he only blew me.
I guess if they had
it's not really gay sex.
If they had come out,
I didn't put a penis inside of me, so obviously it's not gay sex.
If
right?
they had called,
so,
yeah,
eyes,
that's
so
what
that's
this
okay.
argument sounds like to
yeah.
me.
All right. If they had released Torchwood and had underneath, if they had
Torchwood
called
is Doctor Who.
If they had
way.
Called it Doctor Who: The Torchwood Adventures as the title for Torchwood. You would have been okay with that.
Yes. Because it said in fucking Doctor Who.
Okay, then.
Okay, all right. All right. God, I hate having to agree with either of you fucks, but I agree with both. Okay, so I agree with Torchwood, right? Because Torchwood is set in the Doctor Who universe, but really Doctor Who is the Doctor, right? Mm-hmm. Like, without the Doctor, that show is not... Like, you don't call it Doctor Who if it's the spinoff of Doctor Who and it's just Rose Tyler on a planet. That's not Doctor Who. That's just some shit, right? So there's that. But as for Star Trek, I could see where Brian is coming from the definition that he used.
Which
he would be... I am not judging it just yet. Give me a minute.
Hold on. I'm trying not to interrupt people, but it's very difficult.
No,
I was going to say was, so do you consider the Sarah Jane Adventures Doctor Who?
I would have been upset if they'd called those Doctor Who, the Sarah Jane Smith Adventures. It's not Doctor Who. It's part of the universe. That. It's part of the continuity. It's a real stories
would
that really happened
sound
as
like,
much as any of it did.
What this honestly sounds like to me is that you have a very rigid definition of what a franchise can do. And if they ever step outside of that,
the only way
that you can accept that is by not calling it a part of that franchise.
I think it's part of the franchise. I just don't think it's Star Trek because they don't actually trek very often.
Okay, that statement actually contradicts itself.
Just like Torchwood.
Before you finish the sentence.
It just like Torchwood doesn't actually have the Doctor in it. The closest it gets is you hear the TARDIS in one scene. So
he showed up in an episode, didn't he?
No, none of the Torchwoods.
He never showed up in there, Torchwood.
His hand was there.
Yeah, his hand.
Snap.
Okay, yeah. Bam. All right, busted. Hand of Doctor Who, Torchwood. Yes,
close
okay.
Enough.
I suppose I would have had to.
Doesn't that qualify as a cameo?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, it was in lots of episodes for a whole season. Yeah,
Kirk
but
Cameron shows up on Alf in one episode, and it's just his hand. That doesn't make it.
Yeah, but it was in every episode for a season, so that's more than just a cameo. So
they put a painting of him on the wall.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so what it seems that this boils down to, I can see it. Michael's got this look on his face like, say whatever bullshit you're going to say so I can call you an asshole. That's fine.
I find myself interrupting people a lot more than...
No, it's...
Well, I interrupt people quite a lot, actually.
That's why the people listen. Not the studio audience. They're playing Candy Crush right now. But
Still a studio audience here? Because I had forgotten those quiet fuckers.
Yeah. For every franchise, right, there is a characteristic that you think is linked to that thing. If it was one of those things where when I say one word, you say the first thing that comes into your head, that's what you do. All right. So for Brian, Star Trek is the traveling and exploring and finding new things. It's not the same for you. It's not the same for me, which is perfectly fine. But I think we all have that, right? We all have that sort of association to franchises where if you go outside of that, you're like, okay, it might be in the same, it's the same people, but it's not really that kind of show, right?
Today, on a very special episode of the Sci-Fidelity podcast, Patrick expresses that he has tolerance for other people's opinions.
Yeah. Not
you shouldn't expect, this happens
important.
Once every 80 episodes.
This is the Patrick version of Ponfar.
Yes, yes.
Doesn't happen all the time.
Every 7 years, I go to a room filled with dudes and don't fuck anything.
And yes. And express tolerance.
I don't think you know what Ponfar is, my friend.
Dick in your ass.
So let me just say
no. If I was Ponfar right now, all y'all would have dicks in your asses right now. You
just
know
don't
that,
touch
right?
my balls because I'm not gay.
Hey, apparently it's okay as long as you just get a blowjob.
Just don't touch my balls.
What makes it gay is the reach around. So as long as we don't do that, we're all heterosexual men.
Not kissing.
I didn't kiss him. Oh, I just let him blow me. I'm not gay.
Speaking of not being tolerant.
You know what?
Hold on. No, okay, so go back to what you were saying about Star Trek.
So all I'm saying is, okay, so this is all a big subjective thing, right? So that's Brian's subjective thing. I don't agree with it, but whatever. Now that I know what he's talking about.
Here's the thing. I guess I have that too, but I have a much broader, like, there are certain, like, I love the show Farscape. Fuck you, Brian. I love the show Farscape.
What the frell, Brian? What the frell?
I love the show Farscape, and I admit that there are certain qualities that your average Farscape episode has, but if they ever step outside of that, I don't scream, this isn't a Farscape episode.
I think it depends on how far outside of that they step.
I would also say it's how often they step. I think any good sci-fi show should be willing to go out there and do something crazy every now and then, especially if you're going to be on for 7 seasons. But I heard there's cartoons in a Farscape episode, for example.
Yes.
But and I think that's
like
cool.
The worst episode ever.
The idea sounds cool. The execution could have been terrible.
The execution was horrible.
Okay, well, I'm sorry for that.
Sorry, I didn't cut you off. If like, for example, for Farscape, right? Because they're talking about they're going to make a Farscape movie or whatever. It's about John and Aaron's kid, and they send him to Earth so he could grow up without being chased by peacekeepers, blah, blah, blah. So if the new series was really just Boy Meets World, but with John Crichton's son on a planet, and then every now and again, you know, what was that show with the little girl? Her dad was an alien, and she could stop time? Out of This World?
Out of This World,
So if thank you, City Audience. If it was Out of This World...
Every now and then they remind us that they're there.
Yes. But if it was Out of This World with Dargo Crichton, I would say that's not Farscape.
But here's the thing. Here's where I'm coming from. That's not the way my brain works. If it stars characters from a certain show or an organization from a certain show, it is a part of that universe, making it a Farscape show. Now, regardless of whether or not they use the name in the title or not, it is actually a Farscape show. Now, I think the farthest that this gets stretched for me are the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies, where if I had to begrudgingly admit, yeah, they're Star Trek, but they don't feel like Star Trek. But I would have to begrudgingly agree that they are Star Trek.
Okay. Well, I got a question for you about that, Brian. Just because they stayed largely on Earth, does this make it a not Star Trek?
Star Trek Into Darkness.
We went to known worlds. It was mostly diplomacy, Earth diplomacy, as a matter of fact.
Well, I've always felt
that shit ain't Star Trek.
Star Trek is an awkward fit for films because the only way anyone can make a story big enough to justify a Star Trek movie is to threaten Earth. So we're always back to Earth in most of the Star Trek films. And
did he threaten Earth and Khan?
No, not directly. No, no.
Then shut the fuck up. I
said, it's a lot of the time. A lot of the time. Okay.
And it's so the only way they can make a good Star Trek movie is unless they attack Earth, except for that time, which everybody considers the best Star Trek movie.
Yeah, but you'll notice they never had the guts to try
it. Alien.
So Star Trek 2 and 3. Star Trek 3 had a bunch of stuff set on Earth, but wasn't really about Earth in any significance. You could have had it on a star base and it would have been fine. Star Trek 4 was about saving the Earth. Star Trek 5 was terrible, but
no one even thinks of that.
Didn't really move on. Star Trek 6, not about Earth. Star Trek 7,
which was also a very good one. Right?
Yeah, 6 was good. Nicholas Meyers knows how to make a good Star Trek movie and make Earth not central to the plot line. But we've got First Contact about Earth.
That negates your whole point.
they come back to threatening Earth in quite a few of them. And I feel it's a weakness, but I also understand that they feel like they need to do something big and threatening Viridian 3.
But
do you even know which movie that was?
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
it was Generations.
Here's my thing. It's a weakness you have weak screenwriters.
Yeah. Well, I guess I will cut Star Trek movies have such a track record of threatening Earth that I'll cut some slack about, okay, of course we're going to threaten Earth again. I don't particularly like it, but it does appear to be part of their way you do
it.
It doesn't have to be. And I would love it if they ditched it.
Hey, hang on a second.
Yes.
No.
The point was that Doctor Who threatens London all the time.
Yes.
That was thrown in from the audience.
That was.
Yes.
Yeah. They're trying to contribute. It's nice. It's so cute.
Yes.
I'm helping.
Yeah. I would like them to threaten other places. I am tired of always being London, and I'm tired of it always being Earth and Star Trek. I kind of accept that that's just the way the show works in that media form. The novels and the audios tend to branch out way more than the TV show does when it comes to what part of Earth gets threatened. But that just, in that particular media, that seems to be kind of a running shtick. So,
stick with the formula,
but
Brian.
But you don't say that's not Doctor Who.
It's hard to argue with it when it's like the most popular plot line in the entire franchise.
Actually, that's what defines Doctor Who. Yeah. Aliens threaten Earth.
Threatening London.
Yes, pretty much.
I want to point out one thing here. You accused Brian earlier of having a very rigid definition, but it seems like you also have a very rigid definition, which is as long as it's in the universe, it's that show, right?
Well,
so
I don't know if that's a rigid definition.
No, it seems pretty fucking rigid. Because I said if it was Boy Meets World with Dargo Crichton, you're like, nope, that's a Farscape show.
If it's got Dargo and Crichton, then it's in the universe.
No. Dargo Crichton is John Crichton's son. He's just a human on Earth.
But it's a character from the universe. Yeah.
Right.
So that makes it a Farscape show.
Steve, give me a ruling. Is that a rigid definition?
That is pretty rigid.
Thank you. That's all I'm saying.
There's no interpretation there. It's a solid rule. If X equals one, motherfucker's true.
Well,
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying you're accusing him of that. Yeah. If they don't travel someplace, then it's not Star Trek. That's a rigid rule.
It depends what you mean by rigid. Rigid also means unflexible. So... His definition is pretty open-ended, so it's not going to constrain.
No, it's not flexible.
You're confusing what the rule permits with the rigidity of it.
Because it's my rule.
Well, okay, here it comes. Here's the persecution complex.
Okay, the reason I'm saying there's a difference between my rigidity and that rigidity... No one's jerking off.
Not in here.
Do you understand the point of us doing hand gestures? Is that it doesn't get recorded, and all these fine people listening to the show later don't need to experience that.
That needed to be heard.
That needed to be heard, the jerking off. Okay, all right, well... So
the difference between that rigidity and my rigidity.
Hang on, new studio audience members, we're actually talking about rules about whether something is Star Trek or not his dick. Now, I know you're probably disappointed because it's magnificent, sure. Come back. He can talk about his dick later. I think
Michael is not terribly rigid. I think he's quite flexible. And
holy shit, don't give them the impression that you know that from firsthand experience.
All right, Brian, he
got his whole knee back there.
Just because you think that Michael's argument is impotent is no reason to just blurt that out on the podcast.
My experience with Michael over the years.
All right, lots of Friday nights spent together until 1, 2 in the morning.
So the reason that I'm saying this is because, yes, I feel like the point that I'm making is if you create this large span of characters, like if you have a Star Wars universe and then you just say, well, no Skywalker's in it, that makes it not a Star Wars movie. I feel like you're being overly rigid because you can only accept a Star Wars movie that has a particular family in it versus anything set in that universe. Whereas I'm saying anything set in that universe is a Star Wars movie.
Yes, that's your rigid rule.
I would also throw this rule out there. If they produced a Star Wars movie that actually had no war, I would probably say that's not technically
a Star Wars movie. Fuck, they define the whole show in the title. That's basically what it is for Brian. Brian's like, well,
Battlestar Galactica, in which the Galactica did not show up, which there was about 3 or 4 where that did actually happen, were those just not Battlestar Galactica?
Wait a minute,
looking at the entire show, I would say you're allowed to, it's a percentage thing. You look at the entire hours of show, if they spent a few hours without the Doctor. They did a couple of Dr. Light episodes where he barely cameos. A few episodes without the Galactica. Again, okay. But by and large, the Galactica shows up in or is central to the plot of almost all the series.
So, Brian, they had a TV series. You might remember it. It's called Firefly. Yeah. That ship was in every fucking episode.
Yeah.
Am I right?
I think so, yes.
Yes, it was.
All right. So, then they made a movie called Serenity.
Yes.
There was no Serenity anywhere now.
No, the ship's name was Serenity. It was a Firefly class starship.
All right.
Yeah, they actually adhered to Brian rules like every time.
Okay, all right, I got one for you. There was an anthology show called The Twilight Zone, in which I don't think, unless you count the announcer saying the name at the beginning, ever actually took place in a zone that only had set during twilight hours.
Well, the Twilight Zone was the
also,
name.
Also, there were no sparkly vampires. So, what the fuck?
I am not going to hold Rod Serling responsible for the lack of sparkly vampires.
Oh, but you'll fucking hold Gene Roddenberry responsible for that shit.
Actually, well, he was dead by then.
He was dead by then.
So, I don't hold Gene Roddenberry responsible either. I'm not even saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's an issue of nomenclature. That's
it
all.
Just, okay,
I love Deep Space Nine.
Star Trek can only be stories about going somewhere. You can't just have Federation captains doing a story where they're not going somewhere. Because if you do that enough times, apparently that shit ain't Star Trek.
Which I understand your frustration. All I am pointing out, I even agree. I agree. I think Deep Space Nine is Star Trek. I have, which I think we're going to go to next, why the J.J. Abrams films are not Star Trek, because my definition is different than both of yours, right?
Well, if I pop a Blu-ray disc into the Blu-ray player that says Star Wars, there should better be some war in there somewhere, okay?
You know what? I'm not going to argue with that. I go to see Star Wars because I want to see people fight. I want to see people sit down.
Was there technically a war in episode one? Which I'm okay.
They conquered a planet.
Was that a battle?
That's legit.
that was an invasion.
That was an invasion.
Yeah. It ended with...
Hey, I'm perfectly fine not calling episode one a Star Wars.
Yeah, I know. It ended with two armies fighting and one of them blowing up some really expensive shit. I think if that ain't war, I don't know what the fuck that is.
Better hope you got the extended warranty on that.
Hold on. Is it not war if they blow up cheap shit?
If that's an infraction.
Well, no, it's a war. It's just called a gang war if they're only blowing up cheap shit.
If two armies show up and they just knock over styrofoam cups, that ain't a war.
Break a few windows.
That's a game of flip cup.
That's real.
Flip cup?
That's a shitty afternoon between siblings.
Okay, well, you two have done yours, so let me throw mine out, right? So, Brian, for it to be Star Trek, you got a Trek. For you, if it's anywhere, if
for
they say Starfleet once,
Star
it's Star Trek.
There should be some Star Trek.
Right.
Yeah, some trekking through the stars.
For me, Star Trek is, you know, this is what humanity can and should aspire to. This is us hitting the pinnacle morally. Ethically,
I would say that is part of Star Trek.
That's part of my definition.
And
right?
Definitely part of the franchise.
Definitely part of the franchise. And even with every now and again where you'll have like a human character who fucks something up or is evil, you know, like Star Trek Insurrection. Hey, let's just move these Indians. I mean, Baku off this planet so that we can get their Fountain of Youth.
Hold up.
But
are you using subtext?
I know. Even
I totally didn't catch that.
Even then,
to be fair, they are squatting on Starfleet land. Starfleet owned the planet before they moved there.
And so, to be fair, Starfleet should give them some blankets and tell them to move on.
Well, no. Starfleet was there. The Federation was there first.
Yeah, it was
their planet.
Yeah, they discovered it, didn't they? Anyway, it's not important. but the overall plot is still saying, okay, somebody has fucked up. Or somebody's doing something they shouldn't, but we need to put that in the light of day so that our enlightened society can say, that's bad, and take corrective action and fix it, right? So that's what Star Trek is to me. So Deep Space Nine fits into that mold.
They never busted Sisko for what he pulled with the Romulan.
They go into the gray, right?
Not only did they not bust him, Starfleet actually sanctioned that shit.
Yeah.
Starfleet was like, that sounds sketchy, but fuck it. Let's trick the Romulans into this war.
I'm going to need a full report afterwards, by the way.
Hey, well, okay. So
hold up. You want to do a con job on an entire race of aliens?
Yeah, our studies indicate
cool
that this is going to work out just great. I mean, not for them.
Hey, you know what?
But we're going to do good.
You can have the debate on whether that's moral in your thing or whatever. That's fine.
I love that episode. That's my favorite episode.
Of course, because you love when people are fucked up. That's fine, though. It's good, because that's what makes you you, and that's why we tolerate you.
I love when people are fucked up.
Yes.
Somebody's got to fucked up. Send Michael in.
Somebody's got to love the fucked up people.
You got to have somebody deal with that bullshit. Yeah. Like, send Michael. He'll handle that shit. He'll handle that. So I don't feel that the Abrams Star Trek movies fit into that mold, as we were having the conversation earlier, and figured we would just bring this to the podcast, because why the fuck not, right? I mean,
right.
That's what we do this shit for.
Kind of, yeah.
Is that what we do this shit for?
Well, that and to get audience members here to jerk off, but whatever, it's fine. Well, then we have fucked up for 80 episodes, because the chicks we got, this chases them away.
Hold up. We don't do this to get chicks, and I don't want all of our significant others to get that impression.
Michael, they've heard the show. They know. They know.
That's what you're doing to get chicks, huh?
Yeah. Like, you know
what I'm doing to get chicks? I'm okay with
that. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Good luck.
You just keep doing what you're doing, sir.
You keep doing that, and I'm fine with that.
That's fine.
Yeah. So anyway, Abrams films, they're not really... Like, they aren't really about anything. There aren't any of these kind of moral questions.
I will grant you the first one was not about something. And if you wanted to argue that that film was not a Star Trek film, I would, if not support you, I would not argue with you, at least.
All right,
I would at least stand back and say the first one was not about anything.
It was totally about something. It was about something that I seem to be the only person at this table that doesn't seem to hate. Origin stories.
No.
It's not that I hate
but
them.
Star Trek, as Patrick says, Star Trek is about, you know, taking the human condition in some element, whether it's sociological or psychological, and mapping it into a science fiction context where you examine it and then try to find a better way of living, a better way, a less fucked up way of being human.
I thought there was one. It was go ahead and fuck with Vulcans. There's no really big consequence to that.
Yes. There was no sociological or even psychological human condition story in the first film, to my knowledge. Yeah. And I thought that was the one big failing that really killed that movie.
Even Star Trek V had that.
Yeah. Even Star Trek V, they looked for God. It was as shallow, transparent, and dumb as a post. But it was at least trying on some mind-numbing level to say, I'm about something.
Yeah. I mean, that's... You got to give me... I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Star Trek is the shining beacon that says, hey, we can use science fiction... in, you know, as stories to enlighten people to the fact that what they're doing is kind of fucked up and we should stop doing that. And I don't get that from either of them. Now, you'll probably say, okay, the military industrial complex in the
second
Star Trek
one 12? Actually was about something. I'm not going to say it wasn't handled as well as a lot of Star Trek movies and certainly a lot of the TV series have done, but they did actually address the issues of drone warfare. And the pros and cons of it were touched upon, the idea of striking first versus waiting for the enemy to strike.
Let me tell you the only subtext I got from Into Darkness. Hey, wasn't Star Trek too cool?
That was definitely in there. By the way, definitely in there. I'm not going to argue.
We got some ideas for our science fiction, mostly in the fiction-y part. It's called Super Blood.
Oh, God.
And it's called point-to-point transporters.
No, that was the first movie.
Yeah, they took that from the first movie. And unlike what they should have done, which is just say, oh, yeah, we lost a hard drive with that on that. So
No. I like that. That's called continuity. That's what we Star Trek fans are supposed to love is when they have continuity between one story and
the
next.
How about when they follow their existing rules?
Isn't that part of continuity?
What?
When did Tribbles suddenly grant...
immortality. Also,
life-defying
current
transporter
technology only works to 40,000 kilometers. Seems to be the general range.
They had those transporters just like the one Spock built in Deep Space Nine, and nobody was like throwing a fit there. They beamed Kira from Tarok Nor to Empok Nor, which is like multiple light years.
And they did that once, and then that burnt everything out.
No, it was still working. They didn't even talk about what happened to that transporter at the end of the show.
Right, because it blew up. It ripped a hole in space-time, and they're like, well, we don't talk about that.
Maybe,
because you know what? Because we had three or four red shirts, and they all got sucked in. And
there
were
a couple,
maybe
two or three other times.
Maybe that's how we get red
matter. There were two or three other times.
Maybe that's how we get it.
Every time that you transwarp teleport, you create a little nugget of red matter. Because fuck it, we're already fucking with physics.
So, I mean, they took a gadget from Deep Space Nine and brought it back into Spock built one in the past, a gadget that was existed
Scotty?
In deep space. Not Spock built. Well, Scotty had been
trying.
Huh?
Is this from an earlier
episode? Let's see. The first time they used it was the first Jem'Hadar episode, the one titled Jem'Hadar.
No, I know, but you're saying they used it when Spock created it. When
Spock goes back in JJ Trek 11, and builds one. Scotty'd been trying to work it. Spock knew the missing bits and put it together.
And got it to work.
So you're attaching something from the J.J. Abrams episode to an episode of Deep Space Nine, which aired like a decade before.
I also think that I also think that he's retconning that.
He has to be retconning that.
They even called it the same thing.
Transferred
warp beaming. And there was also in a Next Generation episode. They didn't actually get. They just said Dominion Transporter in DS9, and they called it Transport Beaming in the Next Generation. When that guy who might have been Picard's son, but turned out not to be, kept the Ferengi was trying to kidnap him, and he had another transporter there too.
I remember that one.
So
they've
shown up in classic series several times. Spock basically goes back in time and builds one. And once you let Pandora out of the box, it's running
but
around.
What you're saying is you're saying Spock went back to build one because they had it in the future.
Yeah.
But
we are
you're putting that you're taking the box and you're putting them together as you do, because that's that helps you enjoy it. I'm not saying that's bad.
Okay.
I'm not saying that. No, I'm not saying that's shitty. I'm just saying that's not like we explicitly said, oh, yeah, by the way, Spock built this, and then he left it here for Scotty to design. Because it sounded to me in the movie that Scotty was saying, I was working on this shit, and I finally figured it out. But they don't like me, so they put me on this ice planet with this little brown thing here. That sounded racist. But then again, that's Scotty, right?
A little bit. So, when you say little brown thing, were you talking about Kirk?
So that's fine.
We got a comment from the studio audience. It says, Spock didn't go back in time. That was two different dimensions.
It was.
Oh, shit. Look, did you?
No,
I'm not saying that I'm.
Inelasticity of time. We just had that discussion.
We did have that discussion.
They did say gone back in time and time travel in the movie. It was actually those words were actually stated.
He went back in time.
Whether he's in his own timeline or not, is irrelevant to the fact that he did travel temporally relative to his own point in space time.
Yes.
And somehow, when he went back in time, he now looks like the bad guy from Heroes. But that's neither here nor there.
No, when he went back in time, he still looked old. But his young self turned into the bad guy from Heroes. But, whatever.
So if I go back in time, you will look like
Julia White? I actually thought Zachary Quinto was, as far as the lookalike aspect of casting, he did the best job.
He looks just like him.
Like Leonard Nimoy than any of the other people look like who they're supposed to be.
I got to go with Bones on that one.
He wasn't bad either.
Not to get too much into this, because I would like to do a commentary at some point, but I'm not going to go any further into that. I will say that whereas the actors that Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto did their own interpretations of the characters,
Carl Urban.
Carl Urban was just doing an impersonation of DeForest Kelly.
But he was awesome.
It
was awesome.
The whole damn time. He's like, I'm not going to interpret this. I'm just going to do an impersonation.
I'm going to hit all the beats.
But he was awesome. It was great. I one of my gripes about 12 was there wasn't more McCoy. So...
He
did do a great job. I just thought it was funny that he was only doing it.
Yeah, well, he actually, every other actor said, okay, I watched a few episodes, and like Zachary Quinto, I had a whole lot of talks with Leonard Nimoy about what Spock does and what Spock doesn't do it. And I'd have him come in and watch me doing scenes that Leonard Nimoy wasn't even in and then give me advice. And Chris Pine said, I started watching the original series and got about 12 episodes in and said, I'm just going to have to do this my own way. I can't do that. and gave up. Carl Urban was like, oh, yeah, I had been wanting to play Bones my whole life. Me and my son sat down and we watched the whole original series and it was amazing. Carl Urban was completely unabashedly, I can't wait to play Bones.
That's the way it should be, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. I hope he gets a TV show someday.
What would they call it? I mean, maybe he could have a show, and then maybe it could air on Fox. Wouldn't that be neat?
Not for very long.
No, probably not.
It'd be off in one season.
Maybe they just like get halfway through a season and then call it quits.
No, 12 episodes is a full season.
And he could sit not around anymore, and have somebody logical and bitch at him all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, no.
Okay, I think we're getting off.
But anywho. Well, yeah, okay.
You had rails? Oh, yeah, we probably did.
So, anyway.
The question is Almost Human a Star Trek show?
That's easy. No. No transporters. And look, we kind of went off on the tangent on how the new ones suck, and that's not necessarily the point that I was trying to make, even though I do believe that. But the main focus was it did not have those elements. Now, Brian believes that it has those, you know, moral quandary elements. I don't necessarily think it does, just because the sheer number of people in our utopian society that are just dickbags is, like, it's a really high percentage.
But
it's
I think
a really high percentage.
But Patrick, people don't stop being people.
Yeah. No, they did. That was Roddenberry's dream, was that, you know how you fuckers are? No, we won't be like that. We'll be better. Yeah. We'll be better than that.
Now that he's in the dirt, we can all go, yeah, that ain't ever happening.
Okay, but Patrick.
Okay, you know what? It's that dismissive opinion like that,
Patrick,
which is why.
But Patrick.
He's in space now.
But Patrick, wouldn't saying we have a utopian society where nobody is a dick, that sounds Nazi-esque.
No.
Well,
Nazi-esque would be, well, we have a utopian society because
well, no
we got rid of these dirty fuckers.
Okay.
And these dirty fuckers.
Well, it kind of sounds you're, like what special, you're saying.
No,
you claim
no.
That, that all the people fail to live up to the Roddenberry ideals. In these,
a high percentage, yeah.
High percentage of them. In both movies or just 12?
I'm not even counting 11, but I only gave it thought in 12.
Okay.
So we'll say 12.
I'm not even counting 11 because
11
fuck that
just,
movie.
It's just dead to you.
Because there was no story in it.
There was a story.
There was a narrative. Okay, fine. There was a shitty narrative where, you know, Kirk ends up being the captain of a starship, even though
there's zero reason for that to ever happen.
Even though
ever.
37 seconds before he was about to be drummed out to live as a hobo.
Christopher
Pike hadn't even graduated from fucking Starfleet yet.
Yeah.
Christopher
Pike. Nice if they had an academy.
I figured it out. Christopher Pike was bonking Kirk, George Kirk's wife.
Don't hit the table.
Oh, sorry.
You're doing what
I didn't know what that symbol was. Christopher Pike is actually Kirk's dad.
I'm giving you the finger.
And that's why he's so obsessed with him succeeding why he keeps giving him chances.
You're making my point, Brian. Yeah,
that's
fucking
making
my point.
That's why.
No.
Wouldn't it be nice,
Thor
though?
Thor is his dad. Let's get that shit straight.
No.
Thor is Captain Kirk's dad.
Want him to be that dad. He died Thor died thinking he
Captain
was Kirk's
Kirk's
dad, but he was
are
not
Thor
Kirk's dad.
And that chick from House.
Yeah.
Or you can say Emma from One
You
Want
Are So Making My Point.
So,
you are so
it
making
would be
my
nice
point here.
If we had an academy where we trained Starfleet personnel, like captains.
You know what?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
And then you could like get someone that had maybe was getting ready to graduate and not getting thrown out.
That shit
wouldn't that
matter.
Be nice?
Let me tell you why it doesn't matter.
How about this?
Let me tell you why that shit doesn't matter. Let me tell you why him not graduating from Starfleet Academy doesn't matter.
Or having the respect of his instructors.
He was actually not in Starfleet Academy. He was in Tyler Perry's Starfleet Academy, which is not quite the same thing.
Does it have the same admission standards?
Perhaps. There ain't anybody in
there. Okay. No, how about this? Not even we have an academy where we train people. How about we have an academy where we teach you how not to, you know, get blown out into space, and then we put you on a ship for 10, 15 years so that you can get some actual experience so that you can learn how to lead other people.
Yeah.
You know, we don't just give you command
of the academy.
I wonder if they do
the academy did not malfunction in Star Trek.
I wonder if they do that with
any the academy
other
had Kirk on
no,
trial.
You're right.
Kirk
Pike
was
fucked up.
Yeah. Yes. Pike is the
but
the
then Starfleet
the,
yeah,
but then
Starfleet
adhered
said,
to that shit.
Starfleet HQ said, you know what? That's valid. Fuck it. Why not? You know what?
We're gonna go with it.
And
I'm out of fucks to give.
Actually, my biggest fucking argument about now that we're bitching about the Abrams, my biggest complaint, and I still hold to this, is that's not a Star Trek movie because that was Bring Your Kid to Work Day, and then somehow all of them ended up in charge.
Yes, exactly. The bridge crew, every last one, they range in ages from 16 to 20. 17 to 20. No. No.
No.
No. They had Wesley was one fuck on it, and half people were like, "Oh shit, is Wesley still here? Shut up, Wesley!" Everybody's like, "Can we just get him off the fuck?" Beverly, look, I know he's your kid, and you don't want him in your quarters.
Roddenberry's wank on Wesley was about as strong as JJ's wank for Kirk.
Let me tell you, Roddenberry's wank, whatever the fuck that is, on Wesley was kind of creepy.
I would agree with that. And Pike, who's clearly the stand-in for JJ or the writers or whatever, as far as, oh, Kirk is so awesome, we have to keep putting him in charge of a starship. Pike is messed up, but I don't see... Pike is trying to give a screw-up another chance. That still seems to fall within the purview of the Roddenberry future. Roddenberry's future is about giving people another chance.
It's about establishing a story of a fuck-up rebel and then not having any legitimate reason to put him in charge of the flagship and just saying, no one's going to look at this too hard.
Okay, so
discrediting the
question
the fact
that got
us
off topic
the 20-somethings will like it.
Before we move off topic, let me just say that
Before we move off topic?
Because he was about to change it off topic.
Well, I was trying to get back to the original topic.
He was trying to talk for like 5 minutes. So before we move off of Abrams, I just want to say this one last thing. I feel like the Abrams movies are a Kirk interpretation of the events that went down. This is how I see what
That's kind of awesome. Totally having read William Shatner's Kirk novels, I can actually see.
Because that's totally what that was.
Oh my God.
All the William Shatner Kirk novels was William Shatner's midlife crisis in print form.
I could agree. This is Kirk sitting around talking to his 30 grandkids.
Right.
When I was a kid, I only got through Starfleet and Academy in 3 years, and they made me a captain.
Yeah, the Star Trek Abrams movies are just Kirk's wave. It's Kirk saying how I met your mother.
All right. Point out, I asked you, I wanted to know, who are these fuck-ups in these people who violate the Roddenberry belief system in Star Trek 12? So who are they?
Okay. So
these people that show that this is not the society he was wanting to portray.
So, okay.
Main character.
Yeah, well, so there's Pike, right? Because the whole movie starts with the crew of the Enterprise completely shitting all over the Prime Directive.
Okay.
Completely shitting. So when said, they're like, they said he hadn't fucked up for a year, except for the fact where they went and stole a holy relic an indigenous population and gave them a new god, namely the amphibious Enterprise.
Okay,
right.
The planet was going to die. They were all going to die.
Saved it with cold fusion, which is totally what cold fusion
and
is.
And yet, the fact that they were going to die is irrelevant to the fact that we have one simple rule.
Yes.
Don't go fucking around with people that still
thought that I think Kirk would have done that. I think Shatner Kirk, if he was forced into a situation where he had to let the entire planet die or break the entire populace of the planet die or break the Prime Directive, he would have broken it. I think Shatner Kirk would have done that. That was the only way to stop the volcano, he would have done it.
Here's a quick question. Why did they need to steal something from their holy place?
That was to
get
them all out of the temple before the volcano destroyed it.
But they were going to stop the volcano from blowing up, so what does it matter?
They weren't able to stop it before the temple got destroyed. So, he saved the people in the temple. Yeah, they did.
All right.
So... now, admittedly,
could have just beamed them instead of having them chase us.
No,
if you're
going to
violate the Prime Directive, might as well go whole hog.
You got to go whole hog and just show it with your dick and be like, woo,
he was trying to avoid doing the whole hog.
Also, if you beam them, they can just see that as just some weird thing that happened.
Well, they also...
They were saved by their god as opposed to actually showing yourself and then having your ship come out of the ocean directly in front of them, because that's way better than just beaming them.
Well, they have to put the Enterprise directly overhead to beam them, so they would have done both.
How they handled it was better.
You would have had all the bad stuff you don't like about Kirk's plan plus the transporter
on top of it. You'd have to be
in orbit,
huh?
Yeah.
Because they said the magnetic field of the planet was stopping them from beaming, except for like point blank range, direct line of sight.
Didn't they bring
Spock? That's pretty much bullshit.
Huh?
They beam Spock?
Well, yeah, they had to fly. That's why they saw the Enterprise. They had to fly the Enterprise over the aliens to the volcano and beam Spock up from short range line of sight because he was inside the caldera.
Whatever.
So they couldn't use the transporters.
I think this comes down to the three of us don't buy it as Star Trek anyway. So we're already calling horseshit.
So
you're defending it.
So, who are the bad guys? So Kirk was a bad guy for saving millions of sapient aliens.
Oh, okay, here it comes.
It wasn't quite millions.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's only like 40 of those fucks. I don't even know.
He saved the whole planet. I'm pretty sure there was probably more than just the ones we saw on screen.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there were probably more than that. To have a species, you would have to have more than just who were there.
Okay.
All right.
So,
anyway, so the militarization of Starfleet is basically that's basically what it boils down to, right? Okay. So we'll say for Star Trek, most of us should have our heads on right, and every now and again somebody fucks up, and then we say, "Oh, hey, you're fucking up. You got to be punished," and now we can go back to being enlightened and all this other bullshit.
Part of that is how we handle the fuck-ups.
Well, right. And
what was the difference between how they handled it in this movie and how they handled it in Star Trek VI, where they talked about hyper-militarizing the Starfleet and taking out bringing the Klingons to their knees and stuff like that?
Oh. So in Star Trek VI... No, I was trying
Lynch
to...
Lynch flare. Well, that was the big difference.
No, I was trying to get what you were saying. Okay.
Yeah. So there's a group of admirals who think that now is the time to go to war with the Klingons.
All right. So in Star Trek VI, we had already been at war with Klingons for a really long time.
Cold War, but yes.
Excuse me. Okay. Yeah. No, I
thought Patrick was about to back his slap. For a second
there was some vague implications that before the old 60s series started, there might have been a shooting war at some point. I don't know if they ever actually came out and said it, but it was certainly
like a shooting war to me.
It could have been in context. There might have been a shooting war before the 5-year mission.
The Cold War that I when I think of Cold War, I think of Next Generation, Federation, and Romulans, where
that's
everybody is
of.
Sitting there and they're like, you know, you do one fucking thing, and we're going to start shooting.
But we mean it this time.
We're going to try really hard not to shoot at you. We're not going to shoot at you. You don't shoot at us, because if you do, everything fucks up. Whereas the Klingons are like, hey, why don't we just kill them? Can we kill them now? And then they shoot at people, and people die. And
oh, whatever. It looks like we found you in a random part of space. That means you want to fight, right?
Yeah. I see you came to my part of space to do some fighting, right? Let's do that shit. Anyway, so they had been... So the difference there, I would say, is... and this is some of the moral ambiguity. This is what you get into with Section 31, where they do some kind of morally ambiguous shit. But their counter-argument is, well, greater good, right? If we suck the Romulans into the Dominion War... then that keeps the Founders from coming in and killing us all, and the fucking Breen doing all the shit that they're going to do. So, in fact, at the end, it saves lives. And then you can have your moral argument about whether, you know, doing something morally wrong, we'll say, tricking the Romulans into this war...
or breaking the Prime Directive.
...is worth, you know, doing whatever.
Yeah.
I will say this.
Look, you can break that Prime Directive a lot... Look, Picard did it all the fucking time, where he's like, all right, look, we'll save the little girl. We'll save Char Zanka's planet, but she won't know. We'll erase her memory, and everything will be fine. Right. If he'd have pulled them up and erased their memories, that would be different.
I will say this. This is what I will say to kind of go.
Well, to finish, Admiral Marcus is like, I just want to fight. And, all right, go ahead.
So I will just say this to get back to what you were originally saying about your viewpoint on what Star Trek is.
Yeah,
I think what Star Trek is trying to be is not that we're better, but that we are trying to be better. And there's a big difference between just automatically being better and aspiring to be better. Because right now, we're not even aspiring to be better.
No. Because trying to be better is... That's a different
We're
show.
Still human.
That's Battlestar Galactica.
We're still
human. We're trying to be good. No, you think... All right, you think being human means being an asshole. It doesn't. If you raise somebody with this concept that... You know,
I will say by the time of the Next Generation, Roddenberry's advice to the writers was that these people weren't really the humans as you think of them today.
Yes.
By the Next Generation. Now, the original series was, I think, more on Michael's side of things.
I was going to say, because the way fucking Kirk was, that wasn't better. No, that was aspiring to be better.
No, I think in the original series.
I think that's better.
I'm just saying, by his own definition, these people were not automatically better.
And that's what I mean being human. I don't mean
that these people were assholes. I mean, when placed in a situation where breaking the Prime Directive would save some people, that's not being better. That's aspiring to be better, because if you're then breaking the Prime Directive, that means you're not automatically better. You're breaking your own rule.
I'm not arguing that. I'm arguing that Kirk is not a good captain.
I know,
because if you do that, you're breaking your own. He does not have, I'm talking about original Star Trek, not even just Abrams.
Well, I'm not
arguing the original. I'm arguing this one.
I know, but what I'm saying is by that definition, even the original Star Trek isn't Star Trek.
I haven't watched the original Star Trek in so long. I don't know the fine details. I have seen Into Darkness in like a year ago, so that's what I'm going. When did it come out? Last year. So my regulation isn't even all that strong on that. I'm just going from what I remembered and my critique of it at that point, right? So Prime Directive, sure, everybody's gonna have a bleeding heart, and you know,
she's cute, we should really save her.
Whatever. I'm talking about Admiral Mark, who's like, yeah, we should start a war. Why? Well, I'm sure they're gonna start some shit eventually, so we should just fuck them. Yeah, because Klingons, fuck them.
That was more about our current situation than it was given Star Trek. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And that doesn't make it a Star Trek show. That's all. That's all I'm saying. But we've been talking about this for too long. We can't stay on the topic, so fuck it. Pimp us out, Steve.
Yeah, because we were talking about Deep Space Nine. Remember that?
I kind of remember that. And if you're on the show, you can hear it. And if you're looking for other shows, you can get them at our website, which is scifishow.net. And we are on all the social networks. You can get links to that at our website. scifishow.net. We're at scifishow on Twitter, facebook.com/scifishow. We're on the Google Plus at gplus.to/scifishow. And you can send feedback to feedback@scifishow.net. Until next time, I'm Steve.
This is Michael. Go to hell, Brian.
This is Patrick.
This is Brian. So evil admirals make it not Star Trek.
No, I'm sorry.
Apparently not going anywhere makes it not Star Trek.
The fucking warp core breaks down, and they're like, well, fuck it, it's not a Star Trek show this week. Quantum filament?
I guess we're making Star Wars this week.